Your relationship with your body is the longest relationship you will ever be in. You must have unconditional permission to eat in order to make peace with food. What is your self-talk like about your body? If you wouldn't say that to a loved one about their body, what makes it okay to say it to yourself? This is a safe virtual space where we are going to dig into deep heart-to-heart combos that all come back to our relationships with food and body. Welcome back to another episode of the Fine Food Freedom Podcast. This is your host, Sam Previtt, and I'm freaking excited that you're here. You know, last week we did a holiday themed episode. We did the Intuitive Eaters Holiday Bill of Rights, and that was a really great episode to hone in on food talk, like at the table, like physically at the table, which is going to hold you through. Not only obviously we had Thanksgiving last week, but looking at, you know, all of the holiday meals and parties and events that you have coming up, you know, this next month, 2 months. So that is a very helpful episode. But today I thought we could kind of take it like maybe like a part two of really getting into the nitty gritty of how to handle diet talk, weight talk around the holiday season. And again, like anytime I do this conversation, I always say like in the holiday season, but this isn't just the holiday season. This is year round because people are talking about diets every fucking day in every fucking conversation. GLP-1s. Everywhere. Ozempic, all this shit is everywhere. And so today's episode, yes, it's to help you during the holiday season, but you can save it, star it, download it. I don't know, whatever you need to do to come back to this conversation year round. Okay, so before we get into today's conversation, I want to start with the Fine Food Freedom win of the week, which this was a email that I received from a previous client of ours, and it's a pretty short email, but I want to read it. She wrote, "Hi, Sam. Thank you so much for reaching out. I want to express my deep gratitude to you and your team for all of your support. Completing the group coaching program with Julie a few years ago truly changed my life. Every day, I continue to heal my relationship with food and exercise, and I feel more confident than ever. Overcoming this struggle, which has lasted for years, has been such a huge relief. I also listen to every podcast episode of What the Actual Fork podcast and eagerly look forward to each new release on Fridays. Thank you again for everything you do. I will always be grateful." So first of all, thank you so much, this client. I sent out an email to all of our previous clients and just checking in with them, which I'd love to, you know, reconnect with them over the years. And she shot right back with that email. And it's always great to hear from clients. And in one of two ways, it's usually that kind of email where they're like thriving and doing great. Because remember, our relationship with food and body and exercise is a lifelong journey and it ebbs and flows. So you'll catch these people that are just vibing and in such a great spot. Or when I check in with clients, they say, "I'm so happy to hear from you. I'm going through a really hard season right now and I need some extra support. I have these anchors of, you know, tools and coping mechanisms that we worked on, and I logically know they're going to help me, but I'm having a hard time or struggling to apply them. I need more support." And I'm here to tell you, either way, that's a win, because I think people think if they're not like, and you know, this is something you see on social media a lot. People think that finding food freedom or healing your relationship with your body, that you're just like, "I love everything and everything is amazing and I shit rainbows and butterflies every day." No, life is hard. Our relationship with food and body image is hard. It's not about being perfect. It's not about being happy all the time. It's not about always being joyous. It's about having the tools to get through the tough shit. And so I say this because if you are struggling, please do not hesitate to reach out to our team. Whether you've worked with us before or not, we are so honored for everyone that reaches out. I say to every single person I speak to, we do not take this responsibility lightly. Like, if we are who you choose to help you with your relationship with food and body, we are so so grateful. So you can get your insurance benefits checked. We do accept health insurance. You can go to bit.ly/FFF insurance and check your benefits. You can click the link in the show notes. You can go to Instagram, TikTok, just click the link, check your benefits. Most people have no idea that they have insurance benefits. And this is such a great way to get support, especially through the holiday season, especially through the new year. I find people think like, oh, this is a terrible time to get support. It's the holidays. No, this is the best time to get support because there's so many extra triggers everywhere. So let us support you. Let us help you. You are not a failure if you need support. If anything, you are so courageous to ask for help. It's okay to ask for help. So anyways, just wanted to go off on that today. By the way, I got the new 16 Pro Max. My phone feels like it's a big screen TV that I'm holding. I don't know how I feel about it yet. My husband's phone had a shattered camera. So like anytime he would take a picture of our girls, like it was blurry. And I was like, you know, and being a parent, like you barely have your phone. So I'll be like grabbing his phone to take a quick picture, like of a cute moment. And I'm like, hey, we need a functioning camera here. So of course I got the new phone and then I gifted him my phone. So now my husband has a purple phone, which you know what? That's amazing. I love purple. He actually loves purple too. Okay. So let's get into the bulk of today's episode, shall we? Okay. So we are going to be talking about how to respond to diet talk at social events with your loved ones specifically. And I find that people struggle sometimes more with loved ones, more with family members versus strangers, because strangers, it's like, who the fuck cares? But if this is like your Aunt Cheryl or your mom or your Uncle Bob or whoever the hell it is, where you're like, oh, I know they're going to bring this up again or whatever, then it's important. Like, this is what we do in session with clients. So this is a really great way for you to get a taste of what it's like to work with our team, is we role play this in session. I'm like, what is the absolute worst thing that your mother could say to you, or that your Uncle Bob or that Aunt Cheryl could say to you? Like, what would completely derail you? Tell me and let's talk about it. Spark something uncommon this holiday season with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. Now, don't panic if you haven't finished your holiday shopping, or shall I say, if you haven't started your holiday shopping, But one thing I will say is that Uncommon Goods has me a lot less stressed. And this is why. It is such an amazing website that supports artists, small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so you can shop now before they sell out for the holiday season. But what I love is that you can shop by category. So obviously you can pick like him or hers, but you can shop as specific as someone who likes DIY gifts or mixology or pet lovers, or of course, babies, jewelry, wine accessories, garden, beauty and wellness. I mean, there's so many different categories and there's such specific, unique gifts. And my love language is gift giving. So I think that's why I love Uncommon Goods so much, because I'm not just like a gift card girly. Like, I'm not just going to give my family gift cards. Like, I want a very thoughtful gift. And this Uncommon Goods is the way to go. So if you want to give them a try this holiday season to gift your favorite loved ones something, you can get 15% off your next gift by going to uncommongoods.com/freedom. That's uncommongoods.com/freedom for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. So that's where today, this is going to be so different for each and every single one of you, because I first want you to picture that person in your head that you know triggers you over and over and over again when it comes to food, when it comes to dieting, when it comes to body image, comes to body size, whatever it is. And I want you to think about that person, and I want you to write their name down, and I want you to picture them, and I want you to write worst case scenarios here. not because I'm trying to trigger you or create an emotional response, but because the more that we can work through this now, then when it happens, you're like, I'm calm, cool, and collected. And yes, it can absolutely still trigger you and it can still bother you. It's allowed to, right? And you're going to feel more prepared. One thing that my therapist and I have talked about a lot that I think is so helpful is as you are on a healing journey, and that's different for every single person, but becoming more of, you know, your true authentic self. When loved ones in your life have patterns, right? And these patterns repeat over and over and over again. And then you're trying to, again, stay true to yourself, continue on this journey. And we can bring this very specific to food and body image here. But let's not be surprised anymore when your Aunt Cheryl is commenting on your body or the food, right? I think it has to happen enough times in your life where you're surprised every time, right? And when you're surprised, then it triggers you and it creates this emotional response. And then you react in a way that doesn't serve you and it feels terrible and it feels more emotionally exhausting. And it's like, let's not be surprised anymore because you know it's coming. And by doing that and saying like, I'm not surprised anymore by this, it doesn't mean you're not allowed to be upset. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to be hurt. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to be frustrated or annoyed or all of those things, but let's not be surprised anymore. And the more that you can accept that, it makes it a lot easier to respond. And it's like, oh, I'm not surprised by this person's behavior, by how childish and emotionally immature this person is. So I'm going to just let them spew their bullshit. I'm not going to be surprised. Sure, I'm allowed to feel however I want to feel about it. And now I can be more prepared for this moment. So 2024, end of 2024 into 2025, we're not going to be surprised with our loved one's bullshit anymore. We're allowed to feel how we feel about it, but we're not surprised. Okay, so let's get into scenarios and let's get into my three favorite responses. I've seen so many people on the internet in this kind of space giving their own two cents on this. And I was like, okay, I have a masterclass I did years ago on this. And I wanted to condense it and make it so tangible for you that it's like you pick what serves you. So please know that whichever of these responses I'm going to go through on how to respond to diet culture talk, it's going to be different for you of what feels best in that moment based on who you're talking to, what you've experienced that day. You know, like this is not a one size fits all conversation by any means. This also has to deal a lot with your personality and how you show up, you know, in conversation day to day. So there's no right answer here, but I'm going to go through three of my favorite responses and tactics that I use when I find myself in conversations that I don't want to be in. And you can take what serves you and leave the rest behind. Okay. So first, let's set the scene for some of these conversations. Last week's episode with the Intuitive Eaters Holiday Bill of Rights, I did a lot of responding and setting boundaries around food talk, specifically like when seated at a table or when people are offering you food. So this episode, I want to focus more on if you are in conversation with loved ones, people in your life, maybe at a party or an event where you're not necessarily seated. You could be seated. I mean, like not actively eating food. It's more just like the diet talk that comes up in social settings. So let's say, you know, it really doesn't even matter what the example is of the person saying it, but let's say it's Aunt Cheryl and she comes up to you or you're talking or whatever, and she says, oh my gosh, I started Ozempic. It has changed my life. I love it so much. I love my body now that I've started losing weight. I know that you struggle with your weight and you should try it. Okay, I'm just like spitballing, right? We've all heard this kind of shit before. So that's what Aunt Cheryl starts saying to you. So these are the different ways that I would respond to Aunt Cheryl if I were you. And now please know, take what serves you, leave the rest behind. And this is going to be different for every single person, what feels best for you. So some of this, you might be like, oh, nope, can't do that. That feels uncomfy. Totally fine. So if Aunt Cheryl starts spewing this bullshit, what I want you to do is know that you have three options. You can leave, you can redirect, or you can set a boundary. Okay? Leave, redirect, or set a boundary. Now let's talk about the first one I said, leave. Leave the conversation. Leave the room. Okay? Now, some of you might be like, how do I do that? I can't just get up and walk away. You sure can. And so there's different ways that you can do this. And have I done this before? Fuck yeah. Of course I have. Especially like when people know, like family members know what I do. I'm like, I'm not even having this conversation. I just get up and leave. Okay. But if you don't feel comfy leaving, what you can do, pull out your handy dandy phone and you fake a phone call. As long as you have it like upright where they can't see that someone's clearly not calling you. No one has their fucking phone on ring unless they're over the age of probably 55. No offense, but us millennials, Gen Z, we don't have our phone on ring. So you can just kind of look at your phone and be like, oh, sorry, I've been waiting to talk to this friend. I'll be right back. Boom, phone up, out the door you go. Okay. You fake hello. Oh my gosh, it's so great to hear from you. Boom, you're out the door. You're out of the conversation. Done. Zip. Don't even have to engage in it. Then you get to walk out of the room, walk outside, do whatever you have to do. Take a deep breath, ground yourself, recenter. You don't have to talk about it. Okay. Another way you can do this, let's use hydration here. Okay. So I have my handy dandy water bottle. If you have your emotional support water bottle with you, you can just say, oh, I'm getting low here. I'm going to go fill up. Boom. Take a sip. Boom. Out the door you go. Maybe you don't have a drink in your hand and you say, like, just do kind of like a, like a cough, fake cough, whatever it is. Be like, I'm so sorry, Aunt Cheryl. I have a scratch in my throat. I'm going to go get a drink. I'll be right back. I'm not going to be right back. Doesn't matter. Okay. Leave the room, leave the conversation. You don't have to take part in it. Now, if you're a badass bitch, you can literally just look at her dead in the face. Just stare into those eyes. Don't say anything for about 5 seconds and just walk away. Now that's some badass bitch shit right there. But you don't have to do that. And again, I'm kind of kidding because like that might feel like very awkward. But like if you're just like, fuck this, I'm really not talking, like just stare at her, make her feel awkward and leave. But for most of us, I think the other things would work where, again, fake phone call, fill up a drink, whatever you got to do, just get out. Now, that was the leaving portion. Okay. And this works for any conversation you don't want to be a part of. This doesn't just have to be diet culture talk. This could be politics. This could be women's bodily autonomy coming up, right? It could be anything. Leave. Because let me state why really quick. A lot of people, when I talk about leaving, a lot of people will come to me and say, but Sam, it feels like I'm losing, or it feels like I'm giving up, or it feels like I'm less than if I leave. No, absolutely fucking not. It saves your mental energy. And I've said this a million times on other podcasts before. If somebody is not reachable and teachable and doesn't want to hear about intuitive eating and doesn't, they're not genuinely curious about food freedom and body positivity, it is not your responsibility to teach them, to convince them, to defend it. So don't engage with it. Like your mental energy is so much more important than getting in a fight with someone about something that they don't give a shit about and they're not going to listen to you anyways, whatever you say. And that has saved me so many times when I am with loved ones that I don't give a flying fuck what they think, because it will just like suck all of my energy out if I try to engage in conversation. So I leave. I shut that shit down. So either leave or the next one, like we talked about, redirection. So this is where you can have some things saved on your phone. Doesn't have to be on your phone, right? But these are like some examples. So let's say, again, Aunt Cheryl's coming in hot with the Ozempic talk. whatever she's talking about, you have a few little tidbits revved up and ready to go to shoot back at her, to change the subject, to redirect. Now, people fucking love talking about themselves. So you can start there of like, oh, no way, right? Like responding to whatever, literally doesn't matter what she was talking about, and say, wait, tell me about your kiddos. How old are they now? Or like, what was that picture you sent the other day to our family group chat of in their holiday play or whatever it is? So that redirection can totally still be about them, because sometimes if it's about you, like they might lose steam. So for example, if you, she's coming in hot with the Ozempic talk, you could have a picture of your kiddos pulled up or your dog or your cat or the sweater that you just learned how to knit from scratch off of a TikTok video. I don't care what it is. And you have it saved on your phone of like, oh, no way. Responding to the Ozempic thing and be like, by the way, I forgot to show you. I got this sweater knitting kit and look how good I am at knitting now. Or look what my dog did the other day. Or did you, you know, whatever, right? Showing something physically, I think helps, because you're not just asking a question. You have like a visual to go with it. So that can be helpful. Or it could be like pop culture, like news, right? So like, for example, I'm going to see the Wicked movie tonight. I'm also going to Moana 2 on Sunday with my toddler, which I'm fucking excited about. A lot of good movies coming out. So it could be like, no way. Oh my gosh. Did you see Wicked yet? Like, what did you think? Or did you see Moana 2? I'm obsessed with the cute little new character, her little sister, blah, blah, blah. So we are just taking what she said about Ozempic. We're saying, no way. Boom, redirection. Hit her so fast, she doesn't even know what's coming. Okay? So that, the redirection, I think a lot of people feel comfy with, because you don't feel like this awkward sense of like leaving. And if you haven't done this before, if like some people are like, it feels acting or it feels fake. No, you're just, you're keeping yourself safe. You have worked too hard on your relationship with food and body to let Aunt Cheryl, that you see twice a year at a family function, fuck it up, right? And pull you back in to some disordered stuff. So we're keeping you safe here. So leaving, redirecting, right? Now with the redirection, it can, you can turn it right back on her, ask her about her, pull an image up, a video on your phone, keep it pop culture, whatever you want. Okay, so the last one, setting a boundary. Now this is the one where you're like, ooh, I'm gonna get comfy in my seat because this is uncomfortable. It sure is. I am a registered dietitian, a certified intuitive eating counselor. I have been doing this for 10 plus years. I have gone to talk therapy for 4+ years. I am on anxiety and depression medication, and I still struggle with setting boundaries. So please know, this is not like when I say, oh, option number 3 is set a boundary, this is so easy. No, it's fucking hard. It's hard no matter who you are, no matter who you're setting boundaries with. It just totally depends. But just know that it's necessary sometimes. So this is where, I, like I said, it's so individualized of what you're going to do in a situation. But if the aunt or uncle or person coming at you is making remarks more towards you, right? Like your relationship with food and body, you still get to choose how you respond, but you don't have to put up with it. And if it feels more aligned for you to set a boundary, then that's what you're going to do. Now, before we get to boundary setting, I do want to say that a couple things. One, other people's thoughts, opinions on food and body have everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. Even if they're commenting on your plate, even they're commenting on your body, even if they're commenting on somebody else's body in the room, which is so fucked up and not okay, it's a direct reflection on them and has nothing to do with you. The more that you can repeat this, repeat this, repeat this to yourself, the less triggered you will be in the situation. Again, we're coming back to how I started the episode. Let's not be surprised when Aunt Cheryl says this shit. She said it for 20 years. She ain't changing, okay? No matter what you say to Aunt Cheryl, she's probably not going to change her beliefs about food and body. And the more that we can accept that, not be surprised by it, it's so helpful. And I know you're like, but I can't. It sucks. I know. fucking sucks. But you get to decide. This is where you decide. Is it worth it to set a boundary? Or is she just, again, don't waste your mental energy. And there's no right or wrong way to do this. You got to trial and error a few times, right? So boundaries can look very different. Boundaries can be a physical boundary where it's like, I'm not going to Aunt Cheryl's house this year because I simply cannot. I can't put up with it. I got to keep myself safe. I get it. Then don't go, right? Just because you don't go this one year doesn't mean that you're never going and you're not going to be a part of your family. If you need to do that because you're healing your eating disorder, disordered eating, then keep yourself safe and do that. That's like a physical boundary, right? So if we're saying more of an emotional boundary or like a boundary around food and body talk, if Aunt Cheryl starts spewing about Ozempic to your face, you can say, Aunt Cheryl, I'm going to stop you right there. Or, you know, Aunt Cheryl, kind of like, can we take a pause? And this is where it totally depends on your attitude, your personality, what you feel comfy with. But you can say, I do not feel comfortable speaking about body sizes with the work that I'm doing, healing my relationship with food and body. So I really would appreciate if we change the subject. Boom. You can also bring in the redirection stuff that we talked about earlier. So just like change the subject so you can pull away from that quicker. If what she is saying is coming at you so hard and really inappropriate, you can, again, set more of a firm boundary of that. I also like stating, like, bodies are so boring to me. Like, I don't want to hear about your body. I want to hear about your interests, right? Like, there's so many different ways we can take this, but I really like to proceed with caution here that if somebody is that far gone in diet culture with what they're talking about, I find that the quicker we can get away from the conversation, the better, because sometimes setting boundaries feels like an invitation for the other person, especially depending on how your relationship with them has been over the years. It can feel like an invitation to talk about this stuff when it's like, no, I don't want to talk about it. But then if they don't respect boundaries, they might come back with, but why wouldn't you want to talk about it? You diet, you know, you've been on the Atkins diet and you've been on keto and it's like, it's like this messy dance of getting out of the conversation. So that's where you just stay firm with your boundary and say, I don't want to talk about it. Like, you repeat it. But that's where I think if you're setting a boundary, pairing a boundary with redirection, or pairing a boundary with leaving the room, can be very effective, because you're basically pairing those two together. You're saying, okay, I'm going to state this boundary of, I do not want to talk about dieting. I do not want to talk about weight loss drugs. I do not want to talk about my body or your body, or again, whatever is getting brought up. And then that redirection of, but here's something I do want to talk about, right? And it could be anything. So those, and again, this comes from, of course, like doing this in session and like counseling and things like that. But I find like a lot of this is my own lived experience here of how I talk about these things. And it can be a little different for me because my loved ones know what I do for a living, clearly. Unfortunately, because there's millions of views on the internet, right, of what I do. But when I'm at this holds true for if I'm at a function where people don't know what I do for a living and diet talk gets brought up. Like, these are things that I do constantly and I've done them over and over and over again. So they come so naturally to me, but they're really hard in the beginning. So I do want to validate that. If this is like your first time trialing this and testing the waters, just pretend like I'll be your Buddha. Pretend like, what would Sammy do? What would Sam do at Find Food Freedom? And respond however you think I would respond. Boom. That can be helpful. And you know what? Actually, that's something, I don't know if that was my therapist or a mentor. It doesn't have to be me. Like, please, I didn't mean that in a way of like, I can do no wrong. Think of someone in this space. So maybe it's a professional, like a registered dietitian, a certified intuitive eating counselor. Maybe you're getting support from someone on our Find Food Freedom team. Maybe it is me because you come to this podcast every week and you take away helpful tidbits. So if you're in a conversation where you feel like stuck, like frozen, like I don't know how to respond, something that helps me when that happens is I say, how would blank respond? So for example, like I'm thinking of my mentor that I work with. I would say, how would she respond in this situation? And by doing that, you kind of like trick your brain. Like obviously that person's not there. So I'm using myself as an example for you. You do not have to use me, but if you want to, feel free. If someone says something to you and you're like, I don't know what to say, how would Sam respond? I'm obviously not there with you in this moment, but it tricks your brain into like, it's so, I don't know the psychology behind it, but it helps so much because you're like, okay, here's what Sam would say. And you start talking, but it like brings you out of your body. I don't know. It's wild, but it's helped me in a lot of sticky situations. So feel free to use that as well as a little tidbit. Okay. So I hope that you are locked and loaded with all of the tools that you need for your social events this holiday season. I am there with you. You can always say, what would Sam say? WWSS, what would Sam say? And I'm there with you. I wish I could be there for you. And you know what? We are there for you because you can work with our team. And when you work with our team, we actually do have an app that's HIPAA compliant that you have 24/7 access to chat with our team to get support. So when your Aunt Cheryl says some stupid shit, you can open that app, let us know right away. It's great. It's great. We are here for you. We would love to support you. So if you like this episode, if you found it helpful, please rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Leave me a note. Let me know what you liked. Let me know what you want to hear more of. The more I hear from you, the more I can help you. And that's why I have this podcast, is because I want to help you as much as possible. So happy December. Holy shit. Crazy. And yeah, just thanks for being here. Enjoy your holiday events. Remember, leave, redirect, set boundaries. You can do this. I'll see you next week. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast. Every single time you listen to an episode, it truly makes our dreams come true, helping people make peace with food, body, and movement. If you have not already, please make sure to head over to social media and give us a follow at find.food.freedom on Instagram or Find Food Freedom on TikTok. And if you resonated with today's episode and want more professional support, please head over to findfoodfreedomresources.com. This is where you can get your benefits checked to see if your health insurance will fully cover that one-on-one nutrition counseling with our team. And we also have so many other virtual resources there. So again, that's findfoodfreedomresources.com for all things Find Food Freedom and to get those health insurance benefits checked. If you have not already, I invite you to rate, review, subscribe, like, share this podcast with anybody that you think needs to hear it. The more that you share this podcast, the more that this message of intuitive eating and food freedom will be out in the world, which we so desperately need. Again, thank you for being here. I cannot wait to chat with you again soon on the next episode of the Find Food Freedom Podcast.